Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Dzogchen count is called Blue Galactic Night, and it is the eighth day of the Yellow Warrior Wave spell. And it is the self-existing moon, day one. And honestly, I didn't remember until just now saying it aloud that we had flipped from the electric moon to the self-existing moon. And I'm going to go on to my usual political soapbox portion of the podcast, where I just reiterate that we have completed our 28 days of being in Donald Trump's tone. And now things will not be as fixated on him, even if to his detriment. It was his moment to be culturally relevant. I'm not saying he doesn't have an impact, whether it's his moon or not, but we have to give everyone their moon as a focus that's legitimate, and that's over. And we're in the self-existing moon, and we don't have any current presidential candidates that are self-existing. Joe Biden is lunar, so he had his moment of 28 days, and we weren't paying as close attention. I try not to force feed everyone American politics, but this was, I think, worth fixating on a bit, the electric moon. But in the self-existing moon, we do have Barack Obama, and he's still really legend, and he is still, I think, like the ghost of presidents past. His vibe still is always interspersed with Donald Trump's domain, because Donald Trump is so vengeant and resentful of his predecessor. So it's nice to flip into the self-existing moon and imagine, in terms of presidential politics, that we'll be calling up the echo of Barack Obama. And then also, since the year 2020 that started on January 1st, we don't celebrate that, right? We celebrate a year that begins July 26th. But if you want to quantify or qualify the year that people call 2020 that started on January 1st, 2020, it is a red self-existing Skywalker year. And that is Barack Obama, and it's a portal. And so a self-existing moment within this 2020 year could be, I don't know, apocryphal. I think I'm kind of reaching in that theory. I'm jumping all over for a minute, but like Jose Arguelles, who invoked the ancient Mayan teachings for our modern age, these cycles that we study here together, celebrate together, are really influenced by his perception and integration of ancient and modern / present moment relevance. So I'm sort of doing a Jose here by being like, well, I don't believe in the calendar that begins on January 1st. I think it's really artificial. I understand that everyone else agrees that that's when the year begins. And so I'm not trying to overturn that ritual. But it's sort of like, well, if you want to play a game and see the natural time influence on the Gregorian year, or how the Gregorian year is seated within the Mayan cycles, then it's a Barack Obama year, 2020. And why not celebrate the self-existing moon that's falling within it as, you know, Barack Obama power? Like, he is the spirit guide of positive presidencies. So there you go. So just also then to talk about what does it mean to move from electric to self-existing, because there's a strong interplay between the two. So the question for the electric tone is, how can I best be of service? And the question in the self-existing tone is, what form will my service take? So we get the idea, and then we create a game plan. We get the inspiration to be of service, we get direction to be of service, but then we hash out the finer details, the bullet points of what action we're going to take, how we're going to implement that. And yet there is all this fluidity in the first four or five tones of a wave spell, four or five moons of the year. So let's reiterate. We ask, what is my purpose to start the year? And we spend 28 days seeing what we magnetically attract. And you might be able to remember in consciousness how crazy it is to start the year, how many things are drawn into our path, into our space, into our karmic awakening. Like, oh my God, this is new. I wasn't thinking about doing this, and now it's suddenly in my lap. And then always the lunar tone within this whole lunar year. What is my challenge? What is still difficult, or what is going to make me grow about this? I already knew in the magnetic tone that something was hard, overwhelming, stupefying, didn't ever know before how to do this. New players, new encounters, new revelations. It's a lot. But then we identify sort of how the challenge part is separate from this surge of power, inspiration. Like, okay, so this is the part that's challenging. This part I either have a good amount of energy for, a good amount of guidance. This part is more nebulous. This part is seems like a lot of work. This part is confusing. We identify that, but we don't solve the challenge in the second tone. We just go, oh, I have no idea what I'm doing here. Then we let go. We let go because we're drawn into the third tone, the electric tone. How can I best be of service? So that we don't fixate on our purpose and how much we're going to get done, or what's so hard. So that's like an amazing three-point picture of the human personality, at least mine. Like, oh my God, I want to do this. This is so exciting. Oh my God, this is so hard. I can't do it. No. Or this is a problem. I want to do something, but this is in my way. Meh. So then the third piece that soothes and solves all of that stirred up egotism, like, this is what I want to do, but this makes me not able to, is, well, how can I be of service? Like, what my next step is how I can be of service. What my clarifying awakening is, how can I be of service? Not how can I get what I want done, or how can I get past this thing that's mean, it makes my life difficult. It's like, how can I best be of service in terms of what I've already been shown? We like pare away the things that aren't of service about our purpose and challenge. Or we just stop thinking about the challenge for 28 days or one day in a 13-day wave spell. We just think about, well, how can I best be of service? And it's not even something you have to figure out. It's, again, it drops into your lap. These open-ended questions do not require a lot of excavating to get answers. You just walk through your life doing the next thing in front of you, and you will attract the synchronicities and magical indicators. So how can I best be of service? I saw really clearly two or three places where I will be of service, maybe, because I may not get to do these activities, but they just, they stirred up in my mind so that I couldn't not observe, like, this notion of what I would like to do. And I say, within this year, this probably, how can I best be of service? Oh, do that, and then that, and that. Not probably more than two or three things really came forward in these 28 days. Okay, so now we have that information. It doesn't go away when we say, what form will my service take? It's a development and evolution of what we just named. Like, oh, well, you're going to do this and this and this. Let me try to think of an example. I refuse to reveal personal details. I used to always overshare, but now I don't. want to. So I'm going to pretend that I can best be of, okay, well, I'm selling a house and moving. So I can best be of service by, that's a terrible example because it's so nebulous, but my purpose definitely this year is to relocate. You know, like it came through really clearly in the magnetic moon. The challenge is that it's separating, lunar, polarizing. I'm removing myself from a community I've been part of for 12 years. I am best of service by really appreciating the people that I'm leaving behind, the community, what it's shown me. I'm going to be best of service by holding on to the lessons I learned here. I live in an incredibly warm-hearted, generous place. It's in California. It's by the beach. It's beautiful. It's affluent. And yet people, for all their wealth or the refinement of living in kind of a exceptionally beautiful space, they stay really grateful. They don't take it for granted. And they want to be helpful and supportive in a community way, even if they're, you know, I mean, there is a tendency here to be very open-hearted and generous. So like I needed to learn that. I'm an only child. So as I leave, my service, I can feel it showed up in the last 28 days, is to try to say, well, I've been imbued with that. I'm saturated with that. I now go out in the world and I have to hold on to what I learned here to offer that to others, to be generous and fair and kind and caring and open-hearted. Like you would think that, oh no, lots of people are like that. True, but there are different environments where it's more comfortable or acceptable to be that way. So that's an example of how I can best be of service, is to hold on to the principles that were taught to me in this specialized place, even as I leave it. And what form will my service take? Well, I think this whole little moment of sharing is pretty form-oriented. You know, I want to be generous. I want to be open-hearted. I want to be warm. I want to be caring. I want to be supportive. And again, lots of people would identify, like, you can do that anywhere, and lots of people are that way. But I had to overcome a lot of inherent self-centeredness and egotism, being an only child, and kind of a loner. So learning how to connect in a community way ends up being groundbreaking. And if I retain it, then it's an actual active choice, or, you know, a developed process or path. It's not just like, you know, I got dipped in kindness and caring and humanitarian impulses. Instead I was shown, it was illustrated to me, that that can be a whole life path. So again, these are specific forms that will grow smoothly out of the electric moon, the self-existing moon, or the tone self-existing. Whenever we leave the electric tone and graduate into the self-existing tone, it is just, I would say, like the blueprint that comes from, you know, someone has an architectural idea and then someone else drafts the blueprints for it. So there's visioning and getting a sort of generalized idea, and then there's specificity. And the self-existing tone and moon are all about that. And you'll see, like, day one of the self-existing moon, I'm just really hitting, again, a to-do list. I'm hitting it hard. I'm hitting it with kind of an ease and enthusiasm, because I just organically stepped into the time when it is all about the details and getting things really drawn out and anchored and creating a foundation from which we're going to build and grow. And it's really possible to do that right now. And I think it's kind of part of the relief that starts to happen in the autumn of any natural time year. I've talked about this the last couple of podcasts. Like, it is not easy to start a new wave spell. It's not easy to start a new 13 moon wave spell or a 13 year wave spell. We're doing both. We have been doing both for a while now. And it is not always easy to start a new 13 day wave spell, but, you know, it's a day or two or three. But when you add up, you know, three moons, then you have 28 times 3 days. If you add up 3 years, then you have 364.5 times 3, and it ends up being 1,000 days of starting a wave spell when things are kind of clunky and funky. But when we get to the self-existing tone of any of those wave spell counts, getting into specificity and having a detailed mind ends up feeling like ease or speed or this exercise of organizing ourselves, setting ourselves up, getting the details in place. I'm not going to call that busy work. I'm just going to call it like it's effective movement instead of sort of being in concept. What is my purpose? What is my challenge? How can I best be of service? It's like philosophical constructs that are loose interface with spirit. But now I think we're getting more into like earth and reality, the foundation. Like, okay, I got all the concepts. I was given the spirit guidance. Let's get to work. And, you know, we can forecast out in 28 days when we start the overtone moon. Then it's always, in my experience, like, it's on. This wave spell is going. I don't have to worry about like the rough start because we're rolling. And I spoke to someone recently about this who follows the calendar a bit with me. And it felt powerful just to kind of hear myself say it, which is that we are not climbing mountains when we go up and down in natural time. We are riding waves. And I love the difference because I've been doing some mountain climbing, you know, as I leave this mountainous area. I'm having my last hikes, hiking up the sides of mountains and then hiking back down. And I can feel that I use all the different muscles going up than down. But it's so different when you're riding a wave. Even though there's an escalation, there's an apex, you get carried by waves. And you don't just use one musculature going up and then have maybe an easier musculature going down. You have this self-examination, this blindness at the beginning of the journey. You know, when you are at the bottom of the wave in our wave spell, you're underwater. You're not seeing clearly. You're not, you know, moving up towards the sky. You're just rising from the depths of darkness in an underwater place, which is our unconscious. And then we do rise because we're riding a current that is moving against gravity towards the sun. And we break the surface of the water at a certain point. And then we have better vision and we have maybe a greater sense of freedom from facing our unconscious denial. Like we're living in much greater clarity. And then the wave ascends to its highest point. And then it collapses. So when you climb a mountain, you just go up and down, and the mountain is static. I mean, perhaps over millennia, it isn't, but just for our purposes, you go up and down, different experiences muscularly, maybe in your mood, but nothing's changing underneath you. But when you climb a wave, when you ride a wave by engaging with it, by letting yourself surrender to this motion, you are taken to this highest pitch where you actually could experience fear or exhilaration because you're at the top of something, and then it dissolves under you. The wave, it dissolves and disappears, and that's how you end up back where you started. And so the cool thing is that you don't have to use all your own strength to get to that high point. That's why surrendering to the wave spells is this dynamic spiritual experience of being carried to new peaks and visions and insights and awareness and connection to spirit by a force greater than yourself, a natural force. But it is never a thing that, you know, that can be like, It's an uncontained movement. We use it to gain all this freedom and ascension, or we don't use it. We just appreciate that it's there. We participate in this rise. And then when it's time for it to release its ascension and dissolve, we're left to float or fly or feel even that we're falling back to where we started, but we can land without hurting ourselves. That's also the point. We land back in a watery expanse, back into a kind of deep unconscious place to start again. So I don't know why that was important, but I guess it was just more like, no matter how crazy it is to start wave spells when we're in our unconscious state underwater, we'll always be carried to clarity and we'll always be carried. We're just riding waves. We're identifying that they exist. That's a state of mind, a surrender in itself. And then we just ride them. And doesn't mean that we'll always even like where we end up, but we'll have another one to ride thereafter. I've been really preaching this stuff to myself, so that's why you get to hear some of it, because I'm trying to make a big move and sell and buy homes. It's a lot of wild everyday experience that requires extra surrender unless you want to feel insane all the time. Okay, so let's jump back to the Yellow Warrior Wave spell. It's probably all that I'll talk about because it is magnificent. Yellow Warrior Wave spell has a lot of fight energy in it after all. I see this because there is a greater cultural war that is coming to a head on Election Day, anticipation of Election Day. It's getting like more people lined up on each side of the battlefield. Even if there is a predicted outcome, people are still taking their places in opposition and on our way to that big place where this epic showdown happens. There's a lot of like flipping each other off, you know, from our cars or commuter rail, like, you suck, see you there. Because I am among many others who kind of have a combat attitude at the moment. Wasn't sure. You can never, I think, for sure know going into Yellow Warrior Wave spell if you're going to feel fraught and conflicted the whole time or if there's going to be this one summit conflict. But what I definitely feel is like a soldier and an experienced one. A martially trained soldier, not a new recruit, but just someone being like, yeah, I have the life experience right now to kind of stand my ground. And if you're going to push against me, I think you'll find that I'm going to attach to my history of training and experience and that I have some kind of developed empowerment that is not going to let you push me over. And I feel like I'm in a kind of face-off or battle or war where I have to almost show someone else, like, yeah, did you think you were going to win this easily with your shiny, you know, freshly forged sword? Because this is like my, 10th or 11th circuit on this battlefield. And yeah, I don't know that you have a chance against that. I'm not arrogant. I'm just maybe logical. So I have this sort of mythological incident within the Yellow Warrior Wave spell myself, which feels very much like, yeah, I'm going to stand my ground. I'm going to stand in my principles, and I am pretty intractable, and I'm not going to give in. That's the warrior piece. It's not like an arrogance. It's a struggle because it feels like it could be arrogance to say, absolutely no, I will not recuse myself. I'm going to stand and face you and stand in my strength, and I'm not going to back down. But as a woman, as kind of a wild child, I have a lot of confusion and shame or embarrassment about saying, no, I'm right. Always seems like if you're sort of a spiritualist that the minute you say you're right, it means you're not. And yet I feel like in the Yellow Warrior time, we get a pass just for these 13 days and not even every day, but just these days where it's really pushing to its peak accomplishment, achievement, lesson. You know, the highest point of Yellow Warriorship will be in the planetary day coming up. But I feel like I'm just being led to be a little bit like, yeah, super masculine in a way, and kind of like, again, ancient, different
different traditions, then, well, I want to be fair and balanced. I don't want to say I have all the answers and I know what's going on and we're going to do it my way. Like, that's sort of how my head chatters in response to my own yellow warriorship. But the yellow warrior moment I'm having demonstrates to me what yellow warrior people go through being born in that, which is just like, no, I've got this. And I have to fight with myself that wants to surrender, to say, no, this is the fight that you've got to do until death, essentially. You've got to fight this item until it's really clear that you lost in a sort of bloody face-off. You can't just walk away from it. You have to see it all the way to its conclusion. I have no idea if you have that. I don't know if it's relevant, but we could go back to the collective and think about how some of us feel with this countdown now within 20 days to the election here, and what an endurance test it's been of complete insanity, just batshit crazy insanity and autocracy for years now. And how at the outset, you know, we could have said to ourselves, like, 4 years, I'm a mature adult, I can figure this out. But, you know, we're at that place where we don't really have to sell ourselves on patience anymore. We get to anticipate an outcome, and it's still a curiosity and unpredictable, but it definitely feels like the end of a battle. And if there is another battle that surprises us, it's going to be absolutely bloody. It's going to be, a bloodbath. If we do not have a fair and just end to our autocratic rule here, then we will see a lot of reaction. And meanwhile, it seems like possibly it will just end. Just the end of that, the end of the battle is coming in place. So anyway, I think the Yellow Warrior moment can have some kind of reflection and anticipation of that. I'm starting to have struggle with my ideas and concepts, which is sort of a retrograde dilemma for me, but I want to push this out and through. So let me just talk about the days to come. I think to complete that yellow warrior thought is just like, I have sympathy for you if you don't really recognize yourself right now, because you're either being a quote unquote bitch or an asshole, or you're just sure that you need to stand your ground. For a lot of us who try to be fair or have low self-esteem about our worth, it is a challenge to advocate for ourselves fiercely. And I think that's happening in this time. And it is a beautiful exposure for a lot of us, or experience, to see, no, there's 13 days within a 260-day time frame where you experiment with not second-guessing your own power, where your acquisition of power, or just attuning to your power, is your survival. Think of it that way. Like, you need to be really powerful and in your footprint and awake and ready to go and guarded and tightened down and in your musculature and fierce right now in this yellow warrior time, because that is yellow warrior. And if you're not doing that, you're losing the opportunity to have an exposure and a broadening experience of warriorship, which is a part of our 20 archetypes that we move through in this calendar. And you're avoiding the power and the presence of what is right now. It feels really uncomfortable. By the end of it, you might be attached to it. And then when the wave breaks, you have to let go of something you broke through and grasp from within yourself. Oh, turns out I'm okay with owning my power. Well, too bad. Now it's red moon, the next wave spell, which is all about flow and femininity. It's a really interesting combo here in the, you know, closing in on the end of the Zolkin cycle is yellow warrior, then red moon. Yellow warrior, masculine fortitude, fixed feral kinds of training to be strong, to protect, and then all the fluidity and emotionality of our feminine nature, which is oceanic, or the element of water moving through all its phases, but always with gravity, you know, always moving downhill to be part of a collective, not individuating and staking out claims. It's just very different. So don't miss this moment. I just absolutely sold myself on standing in Yellow Warriorship. And again, about the days to come, just a few. So Blue Galactic Night, completing the Blue Night Wave spell that was. And then tomorrow, Yellow Solar Seed, pulsing our intention on Monday. And then Tuesday, we have this manifestation, the highest point of the wave, the peak, but it'll be in red planetary serpent. So there's that demonstration that the highest point of warriorship is survival. Okay, I'm Lisa Starr. I'm another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in Lakesh.